So I've heard different ones mention little things that I picked up on because of my topic this morning. And the topic this morning is a simple question. Does Jesus care? And I know there's a lot of people that have just went through a funeral recently or funerals recently. And so this can be kind of a hard subject to approach or look at. But that question comes up to us no matter what we're dealing with from time to time. It's not always just at funerals. Does Jesus care? Because we all face things. We talked about that this morning. You know, it can be a little thing, but in the moment, it's a big thing. And it can feel like, God, where are you? In the moment, we can question, do you really care? Do you see what's going on? Like, how can you not step in and intervene right here, right now? So I debated about going this direction. I really didn't want to, because it can almost feel like I'm rubbing salt in a fresh wound for someone that has dealt with the raw pain and grief of losing a loved one. But I hope that it can be done in a way that can be an encouragement. And I do want to start out as saying that to each of you that are dealing with or have dealt with the loss of a loved one recently, my heart goes out to you, and I do pray that God's grace is showered down on you. I'm not going to pretend to know what it's like or what you're feeling, but just know that I care, and I want to do this in a way that does not diminish what you have gone through or are going through in any way. But I want to do this in a way that can encourage each and every one, no matter what you are going through right now. As I said, you know, we're not all dealing with the death of a loved one. We're not all dealing with trying to sort through what does a normal life look like now. You know, there's a hole, and it's a reality. And now you have to adjust and figure it out, and it's not easy. But that's not where everyone is at. We have different struggles we face. We have different difficulties that we come across from time to time. We have hardships that come up that we didn't plan on. And sometimes you can look around at other people's trials and you can feel like yours just aren't very big. They're just not really that significant. And it's probably easy to downplay it and think that you just need to just plow through it. It'll be okay. It's not worth bothering other people with. It's not worth bothering God with. But the reality is we all face things that are hard. And in the moment, I don't care how insignificant it is to someone else that's not connected to it, in the moment it can be big. It can be a struggle, and it can be hard. And it can affect us. It can affect those in our families or those around us. And I want to look at sometimes, I would rephrase that. I want to look at how we view our hardships. You know, whether it's big or small, whether it's insignificant or significant. And then how we view God's response and how we view God's faithful presence throughout the hardships that we face. I want to look at some examples that we can find in the Bible where God gives us an example or a promise that He is there with us, that He is present, and where Jesus shows us that He does care and that we have not been forgotten. Because I'm asking a question in the title, and I'm going to give you a spoiler alert right to begin with. Jesus cares. If you take one thing away from this, just take that. And rest in that. Let those words go to your heart, to your spirit, and take comfort. Jesus does care. I'm going to start out with a silly thing probably that I've been going through or we've been going through at our house. And you may not quite know where I'm going with this, but hopefully we get to where you can understand. We've been having some well issues at our place. And for those of you that have had well issues, my heart goes out to you. it is frustrating. And if I hear of someone having a well issue in the future, I'm going to probably relate to them in a way I never would have before. And you might get some sympathy, and I might come over and see if I can just be there to offer my moral support, if nothing else. So we have had some issues from time to time. Our well has good water, but we don't have much. It's a very deep well, but there's just not much water there. And so we have to be careful. We try to watch how much water we use at one time, or we can run it low, and we have actually run it out of water, which isn't good. But through this whole process, we're also trying to get licensed for foster care, as some of you may know, and it's been a long, drawn-out process, and we're finally getting to where the end is in sight. One of the last things you do is you get your water inspected for water quality. So they came out and did that here quite a while back, and to our knowledge, we passed. We didn't hear anything different. We tried to follow up on it because we didn't hear anything, and we were assured that, yes, we passed. Well, here come to find out we did not pass, and we weren't notified of it because someone misspelled our name and we didn't get the notice sent to us. So some weeks had gone by at this point, so now we're delayed again. They have to come out and retest, but to do that, we have to disinfect our well. No big deal. Seems like a pretty straightforward process. We have to put chlorine in, flush it through the lines, let it set, and then after a period of time, you flush it back out. It's unhandy, but it's okay. I figured out on YouTube how to do it, and they gave us some instructions. And anyway, so we start this process Monday evening, and it takes way longer than it should have, as normal. And we were out there till like midnight trying to get this done. Finally got the lines all filled with chlorine, and so we let it rest all night. And we went back then to flush it out of the system Tuesday afternoon and evening, and I started noticing that the water pressure was going down. I didn't like what I was seeing, and I had noticed the night before some things around the top of the well where it really made me a little unsure about how clean our water was actually going to stay after this. Like, it looked like it could allow dirt and things to fall right into the well, and I didn't like that. I figured I would do some temporary fixes, but I was going to have someone come and fix it. Well, in the process of flushing out the lines, it runs a lot of water through, and we were starting to lose some pressure, so I'd give the pump a break, but I wanted to get this done. It's getting to be bedtime, and here we are still working on this once again. And at the end of the evening, we finally got it where I felt comfortable with it, and there was very little water. And I wasn't liking that, but I kind of justified it in my mind that it'll sit all night, it'll be fine, it'll build back up, we'll be good to go tomorrow. Well, the next day I went to work, and it wasn't long, and Alyssa was calling saying, there is no water, like we've got nothing. I was like, oh, great. So I had her turn the pump off, and so it wouldn't run. We're going to let it set for a couple hours and see if it fixes itself. Well, it didn't, of course. So after doing what we knew to do, I called the well guy, and he came out and looked at it. He determined pretty quick he had to pull the pump. No big deal. So he hooked on. He got ready to pull it, and he lifted the cap off, and a fitting broke. And those of you know how wells work, the fitting breaks, there's not really anything to hold the well from falling down in the hole, and it fell. The pipe and the pump disappeared. And he's a pretty seasoned well guy. He's not easily shook up, and he was pretty frustrated. He called me up, and he said, I'm going fishing, and it's not in a good kind. He said, you need to be praying. He worked and worked and worked, finally got a hold of the pipe down in the hole, got a good grip on it where he could pull it up with his lift, and he pulled and he pulled, and it would not budge. Everything he did, he tried for hours. He could not get it out of the hole. So at that point, he began to realize that the well had caved in. There was most likely a rock lodged on top of the pump down deep, and it was not going to come out. So we determined the best thing to do would be to drop a camera down the hole and see what's there, because it wasn't worth taking a risk of putting a new pump down and not knowing if it's going to get stuck as well. So we stuck the camera down, and it went down. Keep in mind, our well is 420 feet deep. The camera went to 90 feet, and it started looking pretty bad. It was obvious that the layers of rock had shifted, and the hole was not a cylinder-shaped hole anymore. It was jagged, where rocks had broken off the side, and you could tell it was getting narrower and narrower the farther it went. And at 90 feet, it was so narrow with the pipe sticking in there still that he didn't feel comfortable going any farther with the camera because it's expensive. We didn't want to get it stuck. So up comes the camera, and we're like, what do we do now? If we can only go to 90 feet with the new well pump, we're not going to have enough water. There's no way. And he was hesitant to try to even go past that point, but it's like, what do we do? We got to have some water temporarily. So we thought about it a little bit, and he said he's going to try it. He's going to go down to that point. He's going to feel what it feels like, and he's going to see if he can just shove it on past, but we didn't have much hope. So Alyssa and I had our families praying. It's like if we could just get deep enough to get water. And he went down. He started sticking the well down 20 feet at a time. We got down to 80 feet, got down to 90 feet, and he said, I barely feel like a little bit of resistance, but it just slipped right on past. I saw the hole on the camera. I was watching it. There was not room for that pump to go. I don't think there was room, but it went. They lowered that thing all the way down to 300 feet before they hit anything. So it's sitting at 280 feet because it's up off the bottom. I don't know if it's going to be enough water or not. We don't know. We might have to drill a new well, but we're going to try. We'll be okay for now. That pump should not have went, I'm telling you. It should not have physically been able to fit. But do you want to know what I think? I think God got that pump down that hole. When that thing went down past, I had to walk away. I was crying. I was like, God, thank you so much. See, it wasn't just the pump. It wasn't just the well. This week, it honestly felt like things were coming at me from every direction. It was one of those weeks. And it felt like everything all around me was falling apart, just to be honest. And God knew what I needed, what we needed at that very moment. It looked like we're going to have to schedule drilling a new well. It was going to push back the reinspection of them coming out to check our well since we disinfected it. It was going to push back the licensing again to who knows when. And now there's no interruption in that. At this point, there's no reason to reschedule it. They're coming Tuesday. Just the little things that God did by getting that pump down that hole. He cares. Walter and Sheila experienced that. They got a good night's rest. He cares. I'm telling you, there is this stuff, it can seem so small and so insignificant. But to us, that's a big thing. To you guys, that was a big thing, to get a good night's rest. I don't care what you're going through. It's not something that God does not see. And that's what I want us to remember this morning. Because he showed me in a very real, personal way this week that he cared. You know, there's a lot of people that have well issues. Our well is not unique. I've heard of a lot of things since our problems. A lot of people just in our area and our neighborhood have issues. It's something that's common. But with the combination of everything and that, it felt big and it felt heavy. And it was hard to see the way through, you know, how it could work out. You know, we all face something. We face relational issues. We face struggles at work. We face struggles in our families, with our finances, you name it. There can be a whole multitude of things that we face. And that something that you're facing is real, and it's tangible, and it's something you have to work through. It doesn't matter how insignificant it might feel to someone else. To you, it's real. And we have to realize our problems are not insignificant to God. God cares about every little problem. He knows our struggles. He knows when we feel alone. He knows our pain. He knows our sorrows. And so we can hang on to hope that even though today is hard, there can be a brighter tomorrow. And I want us to turn. I'm going to probably run out of time. Let's start in Deuteronomy 31. These are very familiar verses. And I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit because of the time. But Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 8. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And if you flip just a few pages back, Joshua 1, verse 9, it's very similar commands or words of encouragement. God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is at a time of leadership transition from Moses to Joshua. The Israelites were now going to be led by Joshua. I can only imagine the intimidation, the big mountain that appeared in front of Joshua, so to speak, with taking on this responsibility. And God was assuring him, "I am not going to leave you hanging. Don't be worried about what's ahead of you. I'm right here with you. Be strong. Take courage. I'm not going to leave you alone." There's just a few other quick verses. If you care to turn to them, you don't have to. I'm just going to quick read them. You can jot down the references if nothing else. Hebrews 13, the end of verse 5 through verse 6. It says, "Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" 1 Peter 5, 7, this is very familiar. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Is there any fear or anxiety that we need to carry ourselves? Absolutely not. Give it all to God. He does care for every little thing that we face. Matthew 28, the end of verse 20. It's the very end of the Great Commission. Jesus tells the disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Think about the disciples' perspective. They're facing Jesus not being with them now, and they have to carry on this work alone, as they might think. They didn't understand everything that was going to happen. They just knew Jesus wasn't going to be there. And Jesus cared enough to let them know, "I'm still going to be with you. My presence is not going to leave you. I'll take care of you all the way through the end of the age." That promises to us as well. We can always go back to that fact that he will always be with us, even to the end of the age. The one text I do want to look at is John 11. Very familiar story of Jesus and the death of Lazarus. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 43. I'm sorry, verse 44 is actually where it ends. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But I do want to read. No, I need to read it all. I'm sorry. We just need to read it. All right, verse 17. "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you too are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? I'm going to stop there for just a second. So if you go back in the verses before this, you'll see that Jesus was, it says, a 2 days journey away from this place, and he got news that Lazarus was sick. It says that it was Jesus' friend. He was sick. And I'm sure when the sisters sent news to him, they were expecting him to leave and come fairly soon because he cared about Lazarus and Mary and Martha. But it says he stayed there 2 more days. Does that make sense? Like, why, if you care about someone, would you delay heading their way? Jesus knew what he was doing, but to them it did not make any sense. So now he shows up, and at this point, Lazarus has been in the tomb now 4 days. It seems like it's well past the point of anything miraculous happening. So the sisters are questioning him. Why? You know, if you would have only been here, he wouldn't have died. And this is one of the most real accounts that I think we're privileged to read about, where Jesus specifically shows his emotion and his level of caring and his level of love is in this account. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. He was moved so deeply when he saw the pain and the sorrow that those around him were experiencing that he wept. And it says that he was deeply moved and troubled. I don't think it was a few tears. I think it was an emotional scene. I don't know that. We don't have those details. But when I think of someone weeping, I really think their emotions are just coming out. That's my picture of it. Jesus was showing how much he loved them. So then you go to verse 38. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but this is for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. It really seemed at this point that God had missed the opportunity to intervene, that Jesus had missed the opportunity to reach out, to heal Lazarus before he got past the point of human healing, of physical healing. And even though the timing did not make any sense, even though they couldn't understand what was to be gained by rolling that stone away, Jesus had it all in control. The timing was perfect, and he still worked on their behalf because he cared. This wasn't the only miracle, of course, that Jesus performed. He did a lot of things. He drove out demons. He healed the sick. He brought other people back to life. This wasn't the only example we have. You can look at all throughout his ministry and see where he took time out of his schedule. He might have been tired. He might have been weary. He might have been busy. He still took time to reach out and love those that were around him, that needed to be touched by someone who cared. He took that time. Has God changed today? We live in a different time. Does Jesus still reach out and care for us? Does he still see our problems? God's character hasn't changed. The times have changed. God has not changed. He still cares about you. He still cares about me. Right where we're at, right now, whatever it is we're facing. And if you want to know why, I'll tell you why. Because you matter to God. There is no question. If you go in Luke, I didn't read it, but if you go to Luke, you can see where they use the example of sparrows. Back in those days, the sparrows were very small and insignificant, kind of like they are today. You could go buy five sparrows for, I think it was 2 pennies or something like that. And he said specifically that he sees every sparrow that falls from the sky. But yet, how much more does he care about you than one of those sparrows? And he cares so much about you that he has every hair on your head numbered. And I don't care whether you're bald or you've got a thick head of hair. That's not the point. He cares about every little thing. And as much value as he places in a sparrow, he places much more value than that in you, in me. We are his children. He cares about us deeply. One of the ways he cares for us is through each other. And that's one thing I want to encourage each one of us to do, to continue to do. I know you do well at it. Let's continue to care for each other. I want to do a better job at that myself. You know, it can be something so simple. A quick phone call, a text, dropping a coffee drink off for somebody, letting them know you care, sending flowers to someone that just needs their day brightened, whatever it might be. One of the ways that Jesus cares for us is through each other. You know, as a church, if we can care for each other, we can love each other, encourage each other, that empowers us to be a light and show Jesus' love to those that really, really need it out around us. We need each other, and we need to care for each other. So let's take the time to do that. I would encourage you to do that. The closing song, I told Scott, I'd like to sing Does Jesus Care? And this is number 530 in the Christian hymnary. And I know this is often sung at funerals. It can be a hard song to make it through, to sing through. But there's so much more to that song and the questions that it asks than simply the loss of life. Does Jesus care when I'm struggling with a temptation? Does Jesus care when I can't sing? Yes, he cares. The chorus answers that question. Yes, he cares. And if you can sing, sing it. If you can't make it through the song, let the words soak into your heart. And take that as a truth and as a promise and cling to it. Let it comfort you and let it help you, give you strength when the times come, when the well gives out, when you can't get any sleep, when nothing looks like it's going right, whatever it may be, just remember Jesus cares. If you can stand, you can find that song, and we'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, thank you so much for the reminders that you care. Whether it's the big things we face, whether it's the little things we face, we know that you're there, that you're never going to leave us, that you always are with us. God, help us to cling to that promise. And I pray that you would bless each one of these people here this week as we leave, as we face life, the trials that we face. May we just cling to the hope and the promise that you are there and that you care. And would you just bless each one of us this week? In Jesus' name, amen.
Does Jesus care?